Got to take my mic off me. Sorry about that. I've entitled my message Available this morning, and I want to begin with a story, first of all. Stories of a young woman. And as a young woman, as she's growing up, as she has a heart, a desire to follow the Lord, but and her life seems to be coming together, things seem to be falling into place. She's going to get married. She has probably all kinds of dreams for the future of her life with her husband, all kinds of ideas that she has in mind. You guys know how this is when you're young. You have all this infinite possibilities of things. But as the day approaches, she moves through the engagement period, as the day approaches, the Lord begins to make it obvious to her that he has other plans in mind for her life. And as she begins to realize what all those plans are, she begins to realize that this is probably going to have some, what she would term, catastrophic effects in her life. It will change dramatically what her life will look like. Now, I don't know how she really thought about it. I'm not her, obviously, so I don't know how she really thought about whether she sat down and kind of broke down the things and said, I have this choice or not. I don't really know how that worked. But I think she began to understand that it could possibly mean losing her prospective husband. It could possibly mean losing all the respect that she had to people around her because they're going to look at her and they're going to make assumptions based on the choices she was making. And she was presented with this, and she had to decide, am I going to harden my heart against what God is asking of me, or am I going to yield and soften my heart and tell God that I'm available to do what you want me to do? In this case, the answer is clear because we have it actually in the biblical record, for that young lady looked at what God was saying and asking her to do, and she said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be to me, or let it be to me, according to your word. And of course, this young lady was Mary. We just came through Christmas, right? We're still in the middle of the season. You probably maybe still have some Christmas get-togethers. I have some still. Which means we're still in the midst of talking about this story. And as incredible as it is to think about the fact, when God came to Mary and said, hey, I have this task for you. I have this thing I want to do in you. And you're going to bear a son. Think of Mary. All those things I just said about her are true, right? She was a young lady. She had a desire to follow God. I believe that. I think that's why God looked upon her with favor. But she knew that when this came about, that potentially this could change everything, right? She had a husband she was looking forward to getting married to, but she knew that could totally be off. When Joseph finds out that I'm going to be pregnant with a baby, doesn't matter how many times I tell him it's from the Holy Spirit, right? He's probably going to say, yeah, right, and he's going to leave. In fact, that is in fact what he was planning on doing, right? Until the Lord visited him. And when people look at me and when people say things about me and when they say things about my son, you see, Mary had a choice. And she said, I can harden my heart or I can say, God, I'm your servant. That word actually is, I'm your bond servant. I wish it would translate it that way actually because it is a strengthened form. I am tied to you. I'm your servant, God. May it be to me as you have said. Let me just tell you right up front here from my message, the whole point, the whole thing I'm trying to aim at, the whole summary statement I can give you from the very beginning is, I want us to approach life with that kind of mindset. I'm encouraging, I'm challenging, I'm doing all those words you might want to say, but really what I'm doing is asking, are you in a place where when God begins to say things to you, or when God begins to prompt you, or when God asks for your availability, do you say, I'm available, or do you say, I have other plans, I have other things going on? Hopefully we'll get some chance to revisit this through the year, but this is going to be kind of the introductory message here to say, are you willing to be available for God this coming year? That when God says, hey, would you consider this? Or when God begins to put it in your head or your heart, or God begins to ask you, and I'm guessing there's lots of things that this, lots of places your mind is going right now, and I'm going to try to maybe give us some direction there, because there really are lots of places. It could be some great thing he's asking you to do. When God comes to Mary and says, I want you to have the baby that comes from the Holy Spirit, and his name will be Jesus, that's a pretty big thing, right? Like it's called the salvation of the world. And he may be asking you to do some big things too. But he may just be asking you to do some little things. Or he may just be asking you to think about or to finally deal with the sin that's in your life. Or he may just be asking you to find ways to serve. Merlin, you just mentioned that this morning. To find ways to serve someone else in a specific situation instead of getting what you want. They may not be grand things. But the question is the same. Will you be available to God, or will you say, I have other things that are more important? Mary said, I am the bondservant. I am the servant of the Lord. May it be to me according to your word. I'm going to tell you, that is no small statement to make. I mean, I will ask you if you're willing to make it, but that's no small statement to make. Can you honestly say, God, may it be to me according to your word, according to what you want? Let it be true. If that's what you want, let it be true. There are, of course, thoughts of things that make their way in and interrupt that, right? This baby boy that Mary had, his name was Jesus. He lived on earth. And while he was on earth, one day he was at a place of residence for a meal. And he began to talk to that person about what it's like to invite people. He said, you shouldn't invite just the really important people, hoping you get an invitation back. And he began to talk about where you sit when you get invited. You shouldn't sit in the place of importance, because maybe they'll come to you and they'll say, hey, you need to move down because someone more important than you came. And in the midst of that, he told a story. This is from Luke chapter 14. In the midst of that, he told a story. He said, it's kind of like when a great banquet is given, and the person giving the banquet sends out all the invitations to all these people, and they all indicate, or they're all invited, they all indicate they're ready to come. But then when the banquet becomes ready, then he sends out his message and says, okay, now everything's prepared, everything's ready, come now. But then what are the next words out of his mouth? Do you know what the next words out of his mouth are? Who knows what Jesus said happened after that? Anybody know? When the man who prepared the banquet had finally prepared everything and he sent out all the message to all those people that he had invited and said, hey, the time is right, come now. What did they do? But they all alike began to make excuses. They all had something better to do. I just bought a field. I just bought some oxen. I just got married. I have all these other things in my life. I got to do all these other things. Jesus' point was, all these people got the invitation, but when the time came for to say, now is what I want you to do, then they all said, you know what, I have something better in mind. I have something else to do. You know, the story really does apply to us, because when we read the word of God, and when we're in church, which you are this morning in church, so when we're in church and we hear these words where we have received the invitation of God to follow him, through Jesus Christ, to be a son of God or a daughter of God through Jesus Christ. We've all received that invitation, but it's kind of like when the time comes right down to it and God says, hey, I'd like you to do this. What do we do? Because many of us probably have intended or have said, we've said yes to the invitation. We want to be with God. We want to follow God. We want to be his son or daughter. But when the time comes when God says, now's the time, what do you do? Do you say, okay? Or do you say, well, you see, I just got this. You see, I really wanted to do this. I actually want to spend my time doing this, or I'm not really quite sure that I can do that. Do we make excuses? There's all kinds of excuses we can make, right? Because we have all kinds of stuff in our life that we have to take care of. We have all kinds of payments we have to make for things that we bought. We have all kinds of hobbies that take up our time and attention. We have all kinds of time that we want to ourselves. We have all kinds of things that don't fit into our agenda that are out there that we would say, well, I'm on this track. I'm getting promoted to this next. I have to follow this. I have to protect this. All of which sound a lot in the end, like when God says, come, now is the time, they all alike began to make excuses. Ironically enough, I love when God does these kind of things. Ironically enough, in the life of Jesus, we have another example where Jesus praised someone, and it was not a Jewish person, but he praised someone for a faith that he saw. And it has a lot to do with this kind of mindset, because as Mary said, I am God's bondservant. I am tied to him. I don't have a choice. Listen, that's really what she was saying. Are you willing to say that? She's saying, I don't have a choice. When God says, that I want to do this in your life, I don't have a choice. I'm his servant. I'm tied to him. I don't have a choice. I've said that like lots of times to try to get that through to us, because I don't think we really approach life that way. When God says things, I don't think we say, well, I don't have a choice. I think we say, well, I can choose because I don't want it that way, or I want this, or I want that. But Jesus ran into a person that looked at life. He understood not having a choice. It was a centurion. We don't get his name, but it's a centurion. And Jesus was on his way, and the centurion had a servant that he loved dearly, and his servant was sick. And he sent messengers to Jesus. He actually sent Jewish messengers to Jesus and said, can you bring Jesus here to heal my servant because I love him and I'm about to lose him? And Jesus was on his way there, and the centurion said, wait a minute. Hold on. He said, I'm not even worthy for Jesus to come into my house. He sent more messengers, and he said back to Jesus, he said, listen, Jesus, I'm not worthy that you even come into my house. But let me tell you something. He said, I understand authority. You just say the word for me where you're at, and my servant will be made well. You don't even need to come because I'm not worthy to have you come. He says this specifically. This is in Luke chapter 7, verse 8. He said, I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. And he says, when I say go, he goes. And to another, when I say come, he comes. And to my servant, I say do this, and he does it. You know what Jesus said in response to this? Jesus marveled. And he said, I have not found faith like this in all of Israel. You see what Jesus just did? He connected a proper understanding of authority with faith. A proper understanding of authority with faith. He said, this man has it. This man understands something. He understands what authority is like. And when the person in charge says, do this, they do it. When he says, come, they say, come. When he says, go, then they go. He understands that because that's the position he's in. But he also then translated that and said, when God, when Jesus comes, who has the power to heal, if he says be healed, it happens. And Jesus said, I haven't seen faith like that anywhere. My question is, do we understand authority like that? And really the place where it breaks down, my guess is we presume to have authority over our own lives. Right? You presume, and I presume, to have authority over our own lives. I can tell you, biblically speaking, that's categorically false. For one thing, in the beginning, what? God did what? He created, right? And when people create things, that gives them ownership. Right, we understand that, right? We have things called patents in the business world. Why do we have them? Because when you invent something, when you create something, you can put a patent on it and say, I own it, right? We understand that. So why don't we understand that when God creates things, he owns it? Did God create you? Are you the Lord's creation? So who owns you? But you know what? It's even twice that. I can give you the second reason why, because Jesus made it very clear that he came to ransom people from their sins. Ransom is to buy back. And then Paul wrote these words in Corinthians. He said, you are not your own. You were bought with, paid with for the price. You don't get to decide what you do with your body. You don't get to decide what happens because you don't own. This is not a very popular message to preach. I'm sorry. I'm not really sorry, actually, because it's the truth. But I'm sorry for how it affects us. Because we are told, we are promoted, it's pressed in on us, and it doesn't have to be pressed in on us because we're human and we think it already ourselves, that we have the ability to say, I get to say what happens in my life. I get to choose what happens. And God gives us choice. I'm not trying to go against that. We certainly can say no to God. I just don't think you'll like the results. My question then comes back to, if I understand authority correctly, meaning that God has absolute authority over me, that when I receive Jesus as my Savior, I also receive Jesus as my Lord, which he's my boss. He gets to tell me what to do. So that when he comes a calling and says, I'm asking this of you, do we say, I'm yours, you can tell me what to do? Or do we say, I have something better to do. I'm not really actually available. I have other plans, and that's going to ruin my plan. I come back to again, will you make yourself available to God this next year? Will you say to God, I'm your servant. May your word be true to me in my life. What you say, may it happen in my life. By the way, since we're talking about soldiers, a centurion is a soldier, by the way, and since we're having kind of that mindset of authority, did you know that actually Paul uses those words to get to exhort us to be good Christians? He says this in 2 Timothy. He says, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And then he says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. I suppose we could talk to Bailey about that, right? When the person in charge of you gives you orders, what do? You follow them, right? When you're enlisted, you don't get to pursue other things anymore. It's called leaving the civilian life behind. Paul says, I'm going to give you that example. What is far more important than ever joining an army of any kind is, are you enlisted with God? And when that's true, you don't get to pursue civilian life anymore, which is your own life. You don't get to pursue your own pursuits anymore. For you want to please the one who enlisted you. You understand authority, and when he says do this, you do it. You follow orders. That sounds a lot like Mary saying, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me what God's word says. I can give you another example, this time of a man. Long, long before Mary was on the scene, we indirectly sang about him this morning, at least a song inspired by what he did. For he also lived to pursue God, and God began to make him aware that he has a message for the people, that he needs the people to hear, because the people need to hear it, or else they'll continue walking away and they'll continue to suffering the wrath of God. And he comes to this man and says, what should I do? Who should I send to go tell these people? And you probably know by now I'm talking about a man named Isaiah. And so Isaiah says those words. Those are words of availability, aren't they? Those are not words of, hey, but I have this going on, so let me take care of that first. Hey, I want to go do this first, or hey, I want to go say this to this person first. I got this, my own agenda. Those are not those kind of words at all, are they? They're available words. They're words of saying, God, when you've asked for this to be done, here I am, send me. Send me. But you know, this morning I'm particularly interested in more than just the fact that these two, Isaiah and Mary, were available to God. But I want to also dig in a bit, why was that true? What made them be in a place where they said, though you're going to maybe wreck my life, also true for Isaiah, by the way, because you're going to become, Isaiah is going to become hated. He's going to become the enemy of the king. He's going to become the scourge of the people. Though you're going to wreck my life with what you're asking me to do, God, I'm going to tell you I'm available. What was it that made them able to do that? What was it that said in their own hearts and minds said, this is what I'm going to do, even though it's going to have bad consequences for my normal self? I think in both texts, and I just picked two out of all of Scripture. We could have gone to more characters, but I didn't want to take the time to this morning. In both texts, however, we have a pretty clear answer, I think, as to what led to them saying, God, I'm available for your purposes. In Isaiah, just a few verses before that, you read about something that happened to him, right? Isaiah had a vision of the Lord, and he saw the Lord, and as he saw the Lord, he saw these creatures flying around the Lord, or the presence of the Lord, and those creatures kept saying over and over and over again, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I believe it's at that moment when Isaiah is on his face before the awesome presence of God and he realizes how much glory God has and how holy he is, that when God says, I would want this to happen, Isaiah says, I'm available, I'm ready. I would translate that to us today, that if you are struggling, if I'm struggling, if we are struggling with being available to God, then perhaps we should spend more time in God's presence and in the face of his glory, recognizing how holy and glorious he really is. I think when that happens, we have no problem telling God, I'm here, use me, because we get to see him for who he is. The problem probably is, I don't want to speak for you, but the problem often is in my life that when I begin to get resistant towards God, it's because I'm not spending enough time with him. I'm not seeing him for who he is. I'm on my own path of life, which has two consequences that are negative. The first is I'm not aware of how great he is, and the second is now I have my own path that I want to stick to. If If you're sitting here this morning and your mind is telling you, I'd like to be available to God, but your heart is saying, but I'm not sure how that would be. But what about this? What about this? I would encourage you, take lots and lots of time in the presence of God over the next number of weeks, months, whatever it has to be. Let the glory of God consume you so that you have no problem saying, God, I'm yours. If you ask me to do something, I'm available. I'm ready. Here I am. Send me. Because it's when we're in that presence, all this other stuff fades away, right? All the bills we have. In fact, we probably realize there's some things we have that we shouldn't have. We get rid of it. All this other stuff we have, all the other priorities I place, everything else fades away. Because we begin to realize how incredible God is and how majestic he is and how he's so worthy of your complete devotion. Can we find the same for Mary, by the way? In Mary's situation, now she had an angel come visit her, so that's a little bit unfair, right? You know, if an angel would come visit you, you'd probably say, I'd say yes to you. By the way, remember what I said a couple weeks ago? I said to those of us who might want to say, but if I could just be around when Jesus was around, I'd surely believe. And I pointed us to 2 Peter, where Peter says, you know what? I was there when Jesus walked through. I was there when God spoke audibly from the heavens and said, this is my son. And then he says, but now you have the word of God more fully confirmed. You have the word of God more fully confirmed that you know the whole story front to back. You know where it ends. You know how it's all going to go. And he said, you should pay attention to that until the morning star rises in your hearts. But when Mary was visited by the angel, as she began to wonder, how is this going to work? What kind of consequences is this going to have? How is this even going to, is this not even possible? And then the angel begins to tell her how these things were going to work. And he ends it by saying this, for nothing will be impossible with God. And I'm convinced that that probably is the second major hindrance to our availability to God. There's plenty of things that God asks of us that we just say, I don't think that's possible. To which we should hear the words given to Mary over and over again. There's nothing impossible with God. When we become convinced that there's nothing impossible with God, we become available to him when he says, I want you to do this. We say, hey, you know what? I'm not sure how it's going to work out maybe, but I know nothing's impossible with you. When I'm convinced of that, then I will say yes. You'll work it out. I don't know. Plenty of times, we may not know how that's going to be. How could you ask that of me? How could this come through? Can I tell you, even some of the options I gave you, and I want to be talking to myself as much as to anyone else. Plenty of times when the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, you need to confess this sin, and so you can get forgiveness of it, you can be removed of it. And we often think, maybe you're not like this, we often think, maybe I'm more like this because I'm the new pastor. How could I do that? What would people say or think? We at that time similarly, equally need to hear what the words of the angel said to Mary. Nothing's impossible with God. When he's asking you to do it, he's asking you to follow through, and he'll take care of the details. He'll take care of working it out. He'll take care of making sure. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is a yes. Your responsibility is an I'm available. I'm here. Send me. Use me. I'm God's servant. May your words be true in my life. I ask you again this morning. I'm going to clear this. I ask you again this morning. Are you willing to be available to God? Is it your desire this morning to say, I don't get to control what happens in my life? If God says this to me, I'm going to tell him I'm your servant. You can be honest with him if you're not sure how it's going to work out. I think in every one of these cases, both cases I brought to you, there was some essence of, or some sense of them saying, I don't know, God, how this is going to work. And God had to continue to just come to them and say, that's my job. It's not impossible. What I'm asking is, do we have the willingness? Do we have the fortitude to say, my plans, my agenda, my hobbies, my priorities, my whatever this, and this all have to get set aside for when God says, I'll say yes. I won't make excuses. I have a third story for you today a different man, this time many, many years after the ones we've been talking about. And here was another man who had a sincere desire to follow God. In fact, did so very faithfully for many years. And then one day, his church came to him and asked him if he would come out of retirement and be willing to serve. Now you'd of course know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Glenn. And Glenn said, I'm available. Probably was not highest on his plans. Probably wrecking a few things that he had planned out for his life in retirement with him and Elsie. To say, can you give 10 to 15 hours to your church for the next 3 years? And yet, I don't know the exact exchange that happened, the exact words, but at some level, I'm sure those words were spoken to the Lord. I'm your servant. If that's what you want, that's what I want. That's why we're here at the end of the service today, planning to commission a man who's been retired out from ministries because he was available. I know Glenn doesn't want me to lift him higher than what he wants to be, or doesn't want to be lifted high up at all. But I won't shy away from saying, I could only wish we'd have as much availability from everybody in the church. That when we ask people to do things, or whether they're willing, or they thought about things, that people would say, you know, maybe I could. Reality is, if we make ourselves available to God, it's going to come to the church. I brought that example out already. It may be outside the church. For many of us, it's probably going to come within our families. You know, it's as granular, if you're a parent here today, and God is asking you to do something with your children, to spend some time, are you willing to let go of all your adult plans to say, you know what, I can spend some time with my child today. Are you available? Well, Glenn, I'm really grateful that you said to the church that you're available. Both you and Elsie, actually it affects both of you. We're going to have a commissioning here, and you and I talked a little bit about this, and I think we're going to have Elsie come up with you when you come, just because your role is obviously going to affect Elsie. You're going to answer the questions, but you're kind of speaking on her behalf, because she has no, I don't know if she has no choice, but she's been very willing the whole time too. So I guess to both of you, I just want to communicate, I'm so delighted, I'm so grateful, I'm so excited that you both have said yes, both have made yourself available. Don't know where the next 3 years are going to go, or how long it's going to go beyond those 3 years, if it may. I have no idea, but I'm grateful that you've made yourself available. We want to have just a special commissioning service. I have some questions that I want to ask Glenn, and I have a response from the church as well, just to make sure that you can demonstrate your support. And then we're going to have a prayer. We're going to anoint Glenn. I think it's a biblical thing to do. The anointing of oil stands for a setting aside for a duty. It stands for a protection thing. They anointed people with oil in the Bible for protection. And also, it also represents the filling of the Holy Spirit. And so we want to capture all three of those, a setting aside, a commissioning, a protection for Glenn and Elsie, as well as a filling of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to close this morning by doing that, by having the elders come forward and pray for them. But we're going to start with Glenn and Elsie. Why don't you guys come up here? I asked Heidi to join us up here too, just to show support for Elsie.